The Letter of Aristeas to Philocrates. Chapter 1. Philocrates. A noteworthy narrative has been compiled of a meeting which we had with Eleazar, the chief priest of the Judeans, arising from the great importance which you attached to hearing a personal account of our mission, its content and purpose. By detailing each aspect, I have tried to present you a clear exposition of it, realizing your love of learning, which is a great quality in any man who has tried continually to increase his learning and understanding, whether from the histories of others or even by actual experience. For it is by this means, by the attainment of the most beautiful ends, that the soul is established in a clean disposition, and which, by having fixed its aim on the piety, the highest of all ends, lives by adopting an infallible rule. We have the set purpose, which is devoted to the special study of the things of God, and offered ourselves as a body of elders to the previously mentioned man, whose conduct and glory have won him preeminent honor in the eyes of both citizens and others alike. And he has gained the greatest benefits for those with him and for the citizens in other places by his interpretation of the divine law, due to it having been written by them on parchments in Hebraic characters. We also undertook this task with enthusiasm, seizing an opportunity with the king in connection with those who were transported to Egypt from Judah by the king his father, who was both the original founder of the city and took over Egypt. It is worthwhile telling you this as well, for I am convinced that because you are more favorably inclined toward the solemnity and the disposition of the men who live by the solemn law, concerning whom we propose to write, you will gladly listen, since you have paid a fresh visit to us from your island, and wish to hear with us of matters pertaining to the edification of the soul. Now, I had also previously sent you the record of what I regarded as the most noteworthy matters. We received this record of the race of the Judeans from the most eloquent chief priests in eloquent Egypt. For since you have such a love of learning concerning the things which are beneficial to the mind, it is indeed my duty to share this with all like-minded persons, but all the more so with you, for you have a kindred inclination, being not only a natural brother in character, but instead also in the pursuit of beauty, the same as we are. For the value of gold or any other treasure among those honored by the empty-headed does not possess the same value as compared with the pursuit of education and the care of these things. But, lest we prolong the introduction, indulging in idle chatter, we will proceed to the main part of the narrative. On his appointment as keeper of the king's library, Demetrius of Phaleron undertook many different negotiations aimed at collecting, if possible, all the books in the inhabited earth. And by purchase and translation, he brought the king's plan to a successful conclusion as far as lay in his power. Therefore, on one occasion, when we were present, he was asked,
"How many thousand books are there?"
He spoke,
"Over 200,000, O King. But I shall take urgent steps in the immediate future to increase the total to 500,000. Now a message has been brought to me that the law books of the Judeans are worthy of translation and inclusion in your royal library."
"What is there to prevent you from doing this?"
he spoke.
"Everything for your needs has been put at your disposal."
But Demetrius spoke,
"Translation is needed, for they use letters characteristic of the language of the Judeans, exactly as Egyptians used the formation of their letters in accordance with their own language. The Judeans are assumed to use Syrian language, but this is not so. Instead, it is another form of language."
Now the king, in answer to each point, ordered that a letter be written to the Judean chief priest so that the previously mentioned project might be carried out. But I thought that a season had now come to press the demand which I had often laid before Sosibios of Tarentum and Andreas, the chief bodyguard, concerning the release of those Judeans deported from Judah by the king's father. For he had invaded the whole of Cilicia and Phoenice, and, by a combination of success and manliness, he had indeed deported some, but took others prisoners, bringing everything into subjection by fear. And in the course of this, he had removed up to 100,000 people from the country of the Judeans into Egypt, from whom he armed about 30,000 picked men and settled them throughout the country in the fortresses. Indeed, already in earlier times as well, a fair number had entered the country with the Persians, and before them, other auxiliaries had been dispatched to fight with Psamtik against the king of the Ethiopians. Instead, they were not as numerous as those who were brought over by Ptolemaios, son of Lagos. Now, as we said previously, he had selected the best, outstanding in youth and strength, fully arming them. But the remaining number, elders and youths, but even women, he had let go into slavery, not so much out of any deliberate choice of his soul, but because he was prevailed upon by his soldiers on account of the services which they had given in the contests of war. But when we came upon some opportunity for their release, as we have previously shown, we proclaimed the following discourses to the king. Let it never be unreasonable to be refuted by events themselves, O King. For since the laws have been established for all the Judeans, it is our plan not only to translate, but instead to also interpret them. But what explanation shall we have for our mission, as long as multitudes of them are in subjection to your kingdom? Instead, out of your perfect and abundant soul, release those who are subject to misery. The same God who appointed their law prospers your kingdom, as I have been at pains to show. For these people reverence the God who is overseer and creator of all, and whom all men revere, including ourselves. But we, O King, call him by different names, such as Zeus and Dios. Now, consistently with this, our first ancestors demonstrated that the one by whom all live and are created is both the commander and lord of all. But I beg you to set all men an example of the splendor of your soul by releasing those who are held in slavery. Now he wasted no time, and we prayed that God would dispose his soul to the release of them all. For men are God's creation, and are changed and converted by him. This is also the reason why, with many diverse pleas, I besought the Lord with all my heart, that he might be prevailed upon to accomplish my request. For I had great hope, as I presented an account for the salvation of men, that God would execute the fulfillment of my requests. For when men, from pure motives, plan some action in the way of righteousness and attention to beautiful works, God, the Lord of all, directs their actions and their intentions. Now the king looked up, and, looking on me with a gracious countenance, declared,
"How many thousands do you consider there will be?"
Now Andreas, who was standing by, answered,
"A little more than 100,000.
But he spoke,
"It is yet a small request that Aristeus makes of us."
But Sosibios and some of those present spoke the following,
"It is worthy of your magnanimity to offer the release of these men as a thank offering to the Most High God. You are highly honored by the Lord of all, and have been glorified beyond your ancestors. So if you make such a great offering, it befits you."
Now the king was absolutely confounded, and ordered the soldiers' salaries to be increased, and the payment of 20 drachmas for each body owned by a slave master, together with the publication of a command on these matters, but also the completion of a register of captives to be attached to it. He magnificently exercised his eagerness, God having fulfilled our entire purpose, and compelled him to release not only those who came into his kingdom with his father's army, but instead also any others who were there previously or were subsequently taken there. They revealed that the gift amounted to more than 400 talents.